Welcome to the Hall of Fame podcast. I'm looking forward to this episode. I think you'll enjoy it. But before our episode, as always, we always give you a quick news update. So here's kind of what's going on in the transportation industry, supply chain, logistics, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, since the China tariff has dropped from 145% to 30% for the next 90 days, but we believe that number will stay. You obviously have a backlog because no one was shipping anything at 145%. No one wanted to pay it. So two things were happening. People had shipped stuff. They were sticking them in bonded warehouses. And there's an article on One Truck America. There's just a huge need for bonded warehouses right now because you don't pay the tariffs until you clear customs. So if you sit in a bonded warehouse, you can hold until the tariffs that went down to 30 or so forth. So there's a huge need for that. Those were packed through the roof. Secondly, I think you're going to see a natural surge of people ordering, thinking maybe 90 days, the tariffs may go up if they don't strike a long-term deal. I don't believe there will, but I don't want you to bank on that. So I think you're going to see a huge push. And also you have the out-of-school items that you get. This is summer, your patio furniture, all those things that we have not made here in America. It's made in China or India, Indonesia, Vietnam, you name it. So you're going to see a huge surge of that equipment coming across. So I don't want my trucking compadres out there to take this as, oh, my God, the freight is back. Let's go add trucks. Do not do that. Take advantage of it. Try to get the best rates you can. Be busy. But let's see how this sustains as the supply chain is now refilled. Because remember, you had going to some big box retailers and you were seeing shelves that were empty. So you first have to backfill that inventory and then you'll get back to your normal demand. So keep that in mind. Man, we put out an article, which I think is great, that talks about there have been a lot of vessel incidents as run ashore. Some turned over. There's one turned over with hazardous material that's washed up in India. This is all on onetruckamerica.us. You can read these articles. I think it's important for you to read that. There's a lot of things going on, and I'm not really sure. I've never seen a string this bad since I've been tracking it, of just incidents around container vessels, but it's out there. We also put out something about Waymo. I think, and the reason why I put it out about Waymo, you know, Waymo are cars and not trucks. It's just as you go further into this autonomous driving. So Waymo, who, make sure I get this correctly, they're in Phoenix, San Francisco, Austin, and I think LA. And then they're going to some other cities. They have done 10,000 trips without a driver in the car. So I think that, I mean, not 10,000, 10 million. Without a driver in a car. I also have an article on One Truck America about that. So I think that just tells you where the autonomous trucking industry is going. And we put out an article today written by one of our freelance writers that talks a little bit about the Aurora project, which continues to be a long haul trucking, autonomous, no driver in there, totally autonomous trucking enterprise. Unlike the ease logistics where the trucker is still in the truck, they have totally pulled the driver out. Now, they had paused that for a minute and put the driver back in. We're still waiting to find out if that's going to continue with a driver or without. Our writer said that they are probably going to pull it back out, but they needed to make some more runs in order to do that. Coming off Memorial Day, I think people are just getting back to work. A lot of news came going into Memorial Day. The Senate passed trying to overturn California's EV emission rules bill. I think that was important. There was a very serious accident that happened. The NTSB called it a call to action, and the accident happened because of lack of parking. And that becomes to be a huge issue in trucking. There's a huge lack of parking for trucks on the highway when they need to take their break. And it's a direct correlation of this accident and the driver not able to find somewhere to park and causing a serious accident. So I'm going to really leave it there. There's a lot more information out there. Go to our online news magazine, consume the articles. We're putting out 5 to 8 articles a day, hidden news. If you're in the logistics space, there's just nowhere else to go. OneTruck.us. And with that said, let's get to our episode of The Hall of Fame. Thank you. Welcome to the Hall of Fame podcast. This week we have Harbinger online and we have the co-founder, Phil. Phil is going to talk a little bit about what they have going. This company was started in 2021, and I think you'd be shocked how fast they have moved in such a short amount of time. So with that said, Phil, I will let you introduce yourself and we'll go from there. Phil?
Yeah, thanks, Kent. My name is Phil Weicker. I'm the Chief Technology Officer and co-founder of Harbinger Motors. We are an electric and plug-in hybrid medium-duty truck manufacturer based in Garden Grove, California, since 2021. So the company was founded about 4 years ago. Our focus has been on electrifying the medium-duty trucking segment. Essentially, I like to say that's everything from 5 to 15 tons. Yes. So larger than you know, passenger cars, light duty trucks, vans, and everything smaller than long haul class 8. So that's vocational vehicles, last mile delivery, middle mile delivery, box trucks, walk-in vans, aerial work platforms. Recreational vehicles are mostly medium duty trucking, and that's an interesting focus of ours as well. Tow trucks, school buses, shuttle buses, and everything in the DOT class 3 through 6 segment. We believe those are good candidates for electrification for many of our users. And we can bring significant operational savings to the folks who use those types of vehicles.
Okay. Oh, all right. With that said, so I've noticed, and also we saw you guys at the ACT Expo last weekend. You guys have making chassis and you're making also complete vehicles. So what is your breakdown of how much you're making of each, like as a percentage? Is it mostly chassis or is your 100 vehicles where you guys are?
So at the moment, our first product is a strip chassis. We thought that was the best way to get into the market. If we think about the passenger car world, people have been focused on what they call a skateboard, which is sort of the rolling chassis, the powertrain, the battery, the suspension, and that has been kind of a pipe dream for a lot of passenger car and light duty manufacturers. In trucking, essentially we've been doing something like a skateboard for a very long time. We've had something like a strip chassis for probably 40 years or more now. That's a great way for us to get started. We can focus all of our efforts on the differentiated aspects that make our vehicle different than an internal combustion traditional truck. And we can do that in a very capital efficient and quick to market way. So the first 100 vehicles that we built are those strip chassis. That'll be our first product for this year. And we will expand expand to cab chassis and other products as we continue to grow.
Okay, let's start. So can you, I don't know if you're that far along, can you share on what they're putting on your strip chassis? Can you share that today? I don't know if you can.
Yeah, I would say our primary first two products are walk-in vans and last mile delivery vehicles for probably about, half of our customer base. Yep. And then, as I mentioned, recreational vehicles, are the other half as well. So both of those use cases are pretty important to us.
Okay, so where do you, obviously I've seen the chassis, I've looked at it, I looked at it on YouTube, manual saw it in person. What do you think the next year will look like for you? Are you hit your 100? You guys ramping up production now? You guys expect to pump out 500, 1,000? What is kind of your 1 year, 2 year forecast?
I would say this year, we're currently building at a rate of 4 a day. We plan to increase that this year. Our forecast this year would be 1 to 2,000 chassis, and we will probably try to deliver 3 to 5 times that next year as we continue to grow.
Have you talked to just in general, when you think about the people, when I look back and I'm thinking about the podcast I've had and the people we have I've wrote articles about, there is a lot of the last mile delivery people, whether it's Amazon themselves, whether it's the UPS, and that's a brawl within itself, we're not going to get into. Those guys are really looking hard at those electric medium-sized trucks. Have you are those people in your focus or in you having conversations with? Because when you just think about the footprint, Amazon has invested close to $1 billion in rural America final mile deliveries because they
Yeah,
want to take it themselves.
as the population of the United States, we drive 4 trillion miles a year. Still, even with the penetration of e-commerce that we have today, one out of every 6 miles that we drive is to get goods. It's for shopping, or to, to get things that we need. So that's almost 800 billion miles of driving that we do as individuals, just to get the stuff that we need. And probably about the same, another 800 billion miles, is associated with services that potentially in the future could come to you. So whether it's to, go get a haircut, go get your dog groomed, to go get your car washed. All of these, a lot of these services are moving to a model where they can come to you. And if we look at moving from, you doing that shopping trip in your personal vehicle to those goods or services coming to you, overwhelmingly, those goods and services are going to come in a medium duty truck.
Makes
That
sense.
is the sort of the tool of choice for e-commerce delivery. And like I said, for a lot of those new models for bringing services to people instead of you going to get them. So that is basically a third of the driving that we do. Is potentially replaced by replaced by medium duty trucks. One of the reasons that we started this company and we focused on this segment is medium duty trucking is an extremely strong contender for electrification. It's a very compelling it's very compelling to use an electric vehicle for most of the medium duty most of the medium duty truck use cases. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Typically, 75% of medium duty vehicles in the US drive less than 75 miles a day. A lot of them drive less than 50 miles a day. Many of them drive, only 5 to 10 miles a day. We want.
Ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we want when we order goods and services, we want them quickly. We want them to come right to our door. We need something that can actually go the last mile, that can get to sort of every postal delivery address in the country. I think
It makes
medium
sense.
duty,
Yeah, that makes
what's that?
sense. That makes sense. Can I ask you a question? How is your chassis weight versus a gas chassis weight?
Yeah, so I think that's been one of the things that we wanted to do. A number of us come from the West Coast technology ecosystem, and one of the things that we wanted to do when we started Harbinger Motors is to bring that kind of innovative thinking to a segment that had not that probably hadn't been disrupted for a very long time. And as a result, being weight conscious has been really important to us all along. And I think for the first time, we can say that we are essentially at weight parity or maybe even a little lighter than a comparable diesel vehicle. Yeah, so
That's impressive. That's
we're
impressive.
about 100 pounds lighter than a diesel vehicle
And that
that's
makes
in the same
this,
weight class.
and this makes this a no-brainer. And if weight's not, I mean, weight's always a thing you hear on your Class A type trucks, but if weight is not an issue, I don't. I mean, I know what final mile they run around and do deliveries within 10, 20 miles of a DC. They're not going very far and they're not driving a lot of miles, to be totally honest with you. So using an electric vehicle makes sense. I don't see how it doesn't, especially that you're not delivering at midnight so you can plug them in. I mean, it's not like you're doing
Yeah,
24/7 deliveries, so they
that's
all come
right.
back.
That's right. So when we looked at electric trucking, if you look at Class A trucking, where you're basically trying to drive, 1,000 miles a day, you want to be on the road, especially with even with team drivers, you want to be on the road, 18 hours a day. You have very limited time to charge. Your charging stops probably occur at truck stops or remote locations. We would have to get very high levels of electrical power essentially to the middle of nowhere. And, the battery is going to double or triple the cost of the tractor. That I just don't know that that didn't seem like something compelling to focus on. Whereas we look at medium duty, like I said, typically about 100 miles a day is plenty for most operators.
Playing,
Most of
yeah.
these vehicles are single shift, which gives us lots of time to charge. The vehicles can charge at industrial or commercial locations, so we can bring all the vehicles to a central place and charge them overnight. It just makes a ton of sense.
So how long does it take? So all right, I totally get that concept. Great idea. How long does it take to charge it from being totally empty? How long
Yeah,
is it?
so on a DC fast charger, we can charge in an hour, but we expect most of our customers will probably use a level 2 AC charger and charge overnight in somewhere between 4 to 8 hours.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay. No. I love it. Well, great. No, I think that's a great introduction. I think you really hit the points of what we wanted to get out to our listeners. So in closing, what do you want us to, is there anything you want us to know about your company or anything coming or anything you would like us to know? I'll give you a couple of minutes here just to tell us anything else here about Harbinger.
Yeah, I think the other major sticking point for trucking and fleet electrification has always been cost. People have struggled with the cost of electric vehicles in this segment. We chose to focus on vertical integration for all of our key components. So we make our own battery packs, we make our own electric drivetrain, and we're able to, so to speak, cut out the middleman. And our focus has always been offering our vehicles at cost parity. So that it's an extremely challenging task, but we believe that the savings associated with operating an electric vehicle, which are considerable, typical medium duty truck costs about 80 cents a mile to operate. And if you transition that vehicle to electric, you cut that in half. So 40 cents a mile to operate an electric vehicle. So basically 40 cents a mile saved. Those t vehicles typically drive about 500,000 miles over their lifetime. So every vehicle that a fleet owner transitions from diesel to electric will put $200,000 in their pocket.
That's a real, that's a good point. I never thought about, I never thought about that savings. That's a big number. So you can really afford it to be a little more expensive, which you're not, which wouldn't probably hurt someone because anyone's going to price this out. They're gonna amortize it over 5 years, 4 years, or some version of that. So if you're getting that kind of savings, I think it makes it a no-brainer. So, but if you're cost neutral going into it, I think they have a a bigger no-brainer. So when are you actually going to, are you, are, so you're getting to the point, because I see some, when I say I want to cover, you are going to actually make your own delivery vehicle at some point.
Our focus will, like I said, our first product is a strip chassis.
I get that. Yeah.
We'll focus on a cab chassis in the future. We want to work with the existing upfitter ecosystem
And let them do
for delivery vehicles, for vocational vehicles, for RVs,
it. Okay.
and that's we
That's the
think
wheelhouse.
that's the right path for us at the moment.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Well, Phil, thank you for coming on the Hall of Fame. I'm looking forward for this episode. We'll obviously let you know before it come out. And to our beautiful listeners out there, have a great day from the Hall of Fame Podcast. Take care.